You're listening to Minimalish, a podcast where we talk about simplifying our stuff, our lives, our motherhood, all in a realistic way so that we can make room for what matters. We're not here for perfectly tidy homes or seeing how much we can possibly declutter. We're here for living with less. Realistically, it's going to look different for all of us, but we're not really focused on how our version of minimalism looks anyways. We're focused on how it feels. I'm your host, Desiree. I'm a mom to two and on my own journey of living with a little less clutter so I can have more space for an intentional life. I'm no expert, and I like to think of this as a corner of the internet where we're learning and growing together. So let's walk towards a more simple and intentional life. Here's this week's episode. Welcome back to Minimalish. We are today continuing our series on getting intentional at home. And if that sounds like something that you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go back to last week's episode where I did an intro on this series and we went through lots of reflection questions to get ourselves ready to think about how we want to be more intentional at home. And we are specifically talking about our homes and how we take care of our homes, how we use our homes, being purposeful within our homes, routines, rhythms that are meaningful for us to love on our homes. So all things home. And yes, this is a pretty typical topic for this podcast, but I wanted to really just focus in on different aspects of how we can be intentional at home, intentional with our homes, as we are in that kind of spring cleaning mindset. So before I intro today's guest and what we're talking about, I want to remind you that last week I asked you a question about what is one thing that you want to work on being intentional at home during this series. So I wanted to remind you of whatever that thing is that you thought about. Many of you messaged me your thing that you're focusing on, and I loved reading them. So I wanted to just bring it to the top of your mind as we start today with our first guest episode of the series. How have you worked towards that thing in the last week? And if you haven't, that's okay. We've got plenty of time. Now is a great time to start. As you are listening to this episode, maybe is a great time to start. Okay, so let me just tell you, I'm very excited about this episode today because it addresses the question of how are we using our home? How do we want to use our homes? What do we want to use our homes for? Today, my guest is Lindsay Mimna of Treehouse Schoolhouse. She is a homeschool mom of four. She and her husband own businesses, and she's going to talk all about just what it looks like for her to use her home purposefully when her whole family is home together at all times. So this episode really kind of is a minimalism story in a way, but it's just more like specialized for specifically this topic of home. And we talk about things like how minimalism is impactful for her and her family whenever they've got four kids and they're all home together all the time and they've got work going on at home, they've got school going on at home. And we also talk about arranging our homes purposefully. We talk about hosting within our homes. And Lindsay shares a little bit about being more minimal when it comes to homeschooling supplies. And she also talks about kind of the behind the scenes. She gives us the behind the scenes of what it looks like for her to be working at home with kids. So we really go all across the board, but we're really hearing Lindsay's story of how she uses her home purposefully to fit her specific set of values. So today's episode isn't to say this is what we need to do with our homes. This episode gives us insight into knowing what we want to use our home for, knowing the purposes for our home, and moving towards those purposes. Let's dive into my conversation with Lindsay. Okay, Lindsay, I'm so excited to have you on the show today and just to talk all things of what kind of minimalism looks like in your home, your life, homeschooling in general. Before we dive into our conversation today, could you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Hey, everyone. I'm Lindsay from Treehouse Schoolhouse. I have four kiddos. We live in North Carolina. We are a homeschooling family. We are a home business family. And so we spend all of our time at home, both my husband and I and all of the kids. So we also really are passionate about hospitality and hosting. So I'd love to kind of dive into that, what it looks like to live a minimal life while also leaving space for hospitality. And my business is Treehouse Schoolhouse. We have a blog and a YouTube channel and an Instagram, creating content for the homeschooling families or mothers that are considering homeschooling. We have a lot of information, a lot of education and inspiration for homeschooling. And then we also create resources for home education, like curriculum and resources to bring in beauty and delight and to experience creation around the year. So we do a lot with nature study. So just lots of fun stuff over there.
Yeah, I was telling you before we hit record that I am familiar with your nature studies, and I just, everything you create is so beautiful. So, you know, for homeschooling families or not that are listening, I know you have things that could be used like really over the summer as well. I'm just, send everyone your way to just look at your resources, because they really are like very thorough, and really, we've been so impressed with everything that we've used.
Thank you.
Yeah. So as we talk today, we're going to kind of cover a wide range of things. I really want to hear a little bit about, first, diving into like what it looks like to be home all the time. Your whole family's home all the time, right? How has minimalism, I guess, played a role in making that easier, more pleasant to all be home together? What does that look like for your family?
So we have four kids, ages 3 to 11, and I have 2 boys, 2 girls. So one of the big things with having children with different ages and different genders is minimalizing their things, because it's so easy that each child could accumulate a ton of things that are perfect for a little girl, perfect for an older boy. And so one of the big things for us has been trying to find categories of toys and things that they can do that really appeals to all of them in some way. And I think that's kind of across the board, like even with our homeschooling, like finding resources that all the kids can use in some way, finding things that, so you're not multiplying things times four. And then just in our life in general, I feel like this is actually not my strong suit. So minimalism is something that I strive for. It's something that I would say more simplistic, maybe not even the word minimalistic, because I am a creative. I do love thrifting and I love decorating. And so I'm not like a stark black and white home with like no color and no beauty. And I'm not saying that's all minimalism, but sometimes you can hear the word minimalism and think that. And I think there's a way to live more of a simple minimalistic approach to life without being like hardcore, I'm a minimalist, you know, live in a tiny home or something. And so I find myself somewhere in the middle. But I think for us, I just feel like it serves my family well and it serves my children well if everything that we own has a place and there is a understanding that each thing that we own, there's a responsibility when you bring something in your home that not only are you paying for it, but then the upkeep, or and then one day having to have the mental space to figure out if you're going to donate it or cleaning it or maintenance. And so I try to have a place for everything so that my children can also clean up quickly, because I want to spend time doing what we love and not just managing stuff. So these are things that we try to do and we're working towards, but yeah, we're definitely not perfect and we're kind of on a journey like probably all of you.
Yeah, you're definitely in the right place, because what you described is like what we approach minimalism, the whole attitude that I approach minimalism with is very similar. I'm not naturally organized, naturally minimalist in any way. It's just like something for me that has been helpful, mostly personally, honestly, because of just like my chaotic creative brain.
Yes.
to have less stuff, because I don't necessarily have the stuff that I do have. It's not necessarily organized perfectly. So yeah, it's helpful. And I can only imagine that it's even more helpful when you've got 4 kids and you are all at home together. And I'm sure probably you have kids with different personalities, creative brains as well, yes, that it is helpful for them to What are some ways that you maintain that? Like, if you want to just talk about any systems that you have or things the whole family joins in on when it comes to keeping at least less clutter in your home.
Yeah, so we have two times in our day that we kind of rally the troops for like chore time. The first one is right after breakfast, and we've basically split up the responsibilities that every day things do get out of order, either the school table or the play area or the outside area. And so with four kids, we've split those responsibilities up, and we have morning responsibilities and then evening responsibilities. And we have a visual chore chart, which helps kind of keep everybody on track. And I think the key here is like follow through for the mom, because these are great systems and you see them everywhere. And it's not a new thing to say like, we have chore charts, we have chore times. But for me, it's really the follow through of having an accountability that I will actually check that they did what they said they did. So it's silly, but like for us in the morning, they get their vitamin for the day, like their vitamin gummy, after I've done chore check. So it's something that they want. It's something that I want them to have. If they don't do their chores perfectly, it's not like I withhold it, because then it's just like, well, you now you need to fix this and then you can get your gummy. So just having like little things, number one, that are reminders of when you're doing these things, something visual, so it's not so overwhelming, because they can't clean their bedrooms and the bonus area where their toys are and the porch all in one time in the day. So we have to split it up. And then having less things to make a mess is, of course, the key, because I can't expect my 3-year-old to clean a massive amount of toys all over her floor. But if she only has two bins and she knows where things go, that's a realistic expectation to put on her, to organize the toys into these two bins. So setting up systems, that's something that we do. The other thing is continually purging and not me doing it behind their backs. I think it's really important that we teach our children that there's a responsibility that they have with their belongings. And if they would like to bring more things into the house, then they need to be part of letting things go. And I know that's a really hard lesson, especially when they're young, when they're toddlers. I understand there's like a transition period. Maybe you can't do that if you only have a 2-year-old, but I'm talking about like my 5, my 9, my 10-year-old. Well, he's almost 11. I said 11 earlier. So he would, if he hears this, he's gonna say, "Mom, I was 11. but you know, for example, my Wild and Free homeschool group, twice a year, we do something called trunk and trade, and all the moms load their stuff up in the back of their trunks. We back our trunks up. We open up our cars and everybody just sort of shops in each other's trunks for free. And you bring home stuff that you need or that you want. Well, that's an opportunity that two things. One, we can come home with a whole bunch of stuff that we don't need. But also it's an opportunity for my kids to get rid of things and let them take part in that. And so just what I've done for that is we're having one next week. I've given them each a box and I've said, if you fill the box, then you can bring home stuff in the box, you know, but you can't bring in more than we get rid of. And of course I have to approve what they get rid of and what we bring in. But it's not completely saying, no, you can never have something new, but it's also saying there's a responsibility and we don't have enough space to add more. So we have to get rid of. And then another thing is really giving our kids ownership of selling things. So if they got something because they bought it or as a gift, if I bought it for the family, that's different. But if, for example, my daughter, she's been collecting Barbies for a few years, either in birthday gifts or she's been buying with her own money. And just a couple weeks ago, she said, I really want to buy something for my brother for his birthday coming up, but I don't have any money. I said, well, why don't you sell something? And so she sold all of her Barbies. And it was like a major victory, because helping kids get over that feeling of, you know, letting something go and knowing that they have enough, they don't need more. And that was a really big victory, because she not only bought something, she bought something for someone else in the family. So just opportunities like that, opportunities to get them involved with purging, opportunities with getting them involved with selling things, organizing things, and then just always communicating with them. Like, if we had less stuff, it'd be quicker and easier for you to clean up. Would you like to have less stuff in your room so it's easier? Giving them ownership of those decisions.
Yeah, so many of those examples, I think, are so good, because they kind of add in a level of like fun and enjoyment to the process for our kids. I think that is the biggest place where minimalism or just like the act of decluttering in general, like it's hard to teach our kids because it feels like it feels not fun. And it also feels like, oh, I have to let go of something that at one point I cared about. And so that if there's an element of like fun or enjoyment or like there's some kind of benefit at the end of that, I think that's a huge way to be able to teach them that. When my toddler was first diagnosed with food allergies, I found it really hard to put the same healthy meals that my family had enjoyed for years on the table. And I also had trouble finding snacks that she would like, but Hungry Root really was the resource that helped me the most in the process. Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy, and not just for people with food allergies, it's for everyone. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements, and it's like your personal assistant for healthy living. You take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And this is how Hungry Root built me a personalized cart that was fitting to my child's food allergies. Hungry Root builds you this personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and gives you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or you can choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kid snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. Everything in my shipment was dairy-free and peanut-free, which is what I needed for my daughter's food allergies. And it was also enjoyable for the whole family. All of the meals that I've gotten from Hungry Root, all of the recipe suggestions that came along with all of the ingredients have been absolutely delicious and have taken 30 minutes or less to make. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Minimalish listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/minimalish to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/minimalish. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. You know, as you were mentioning the like trade event that you do and your kids being able to bring some stuff home with them as well, I was just thinking about how homeschooling can come along with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of families who listen in homeschool, we decided homeschooling wasn't for us this year, but it's something that we will probably explore again in the future. And we've explored in the past. And I know that it's like shiny object syndrome. There's just so much out there that you can acquire so quickly.
Yeah.
With just like even the thought of homeschool. It's like, oh, now I have all this new stuff in my house. So can you share? I know you shared, you know, you try to use things that are multi-purpose and multiple kids can use them. But can you share some other ways that you keep, I guess, the homeschooling supplies a little more minimal in your home?
Yeah, I think that realizing what they don't need in order to learn. And I think, you know, for us, I've been homeschooling now for years. And at the beginning, I wanted to go to Lakeshore Learning and buy every single thing. I wanted to order all the manipulatives, like they need counting bears. And then they also need counting this and they need counting that. No, they can just use black beans or rocks. Like they don't even need any one thing that's bought for counting, for example. And then when it comes to the only thing I'm really never going to be a minimalist about is my books. And so just having a good place for books, I know that some people would say, well, just use the library and just, you know, use audiobooks and stuff. For me, books is one that's like so worth the space because I have four kids. This first kid's going to read it and then the next kid's and they're going to read it over and over and over. But having a space for that and having some organization to that does help. And I think, yeah, like for curriculum, that's a big one that people will spend tons and tons of money. And lots and lots of home space storing curriculum. For me personally, I try to find curriculum that, number one, I can reuse it for other children. Like if it's math, I can't use that for my 3-year-old and my 11-year-old at the same time. But I try to keep in mind, we're going to use this again. And so I'm going to store it in ways that we can use it again. But for a lot of the subjects, we try to bring all of the kids together at the same time. And that's how I've designed the curriculum that I've created, like Treehouse Nature Study, Rooted Bible Curriculum, our Christmas and our Easter studies. All of these things are family style learning intended for the 3-year-old to be brought in and the 11-year-old to be brought in. So you're only using one teacher's manual. You're keeping your supplies simple. Even all of our supply lists are like stuff that you can find around the house, maybe a few things that you would purchase for the entire season, but trying to find resources that get it. And I think it's really beautiful because you see a lot of creators out there making things now and that have experience homeschooling. And if you have experience homeschooling, then you know you don't need more stuff. You just need to be able to use what you have, and you need to be able to open something and say, oh, I can open this and make a lesson today. I don't have to plan and prepare all of this stuff. And so trying to find resources that get that understand family style learning, if you have multiple children. And then just really, I mean, honestly, when people ask me, what are your favorite homeschool supplies? I'm like, books, a notebook, colored pencils, some watercolor. Like, you really don't need a whole bunch of different things to have a really beautiful education. And I think it's even better for the kids to have a simplistic education. And so even as my big hang up is books and craft supplies. Crafts really get me because I'm an artistic person. But like even that, you know, there's so many different skills that one child can learn with like a ball of yarn. Like you don't need to have like the glitter and all the different things. Handcrafts are really what they're called, where they're actual crafts that are useful and you're not just going to make them and throw them away. So that's definitely a tip when you get into homeschooling too, is do things useful. Like have your children learn how to make something out of wood that your family will actually use. That can be their craft. Or having them sew something. Like my daughter sewed a pillow that's now on our guest bed. Instead of us spending the money on a pillow, it's like that she was getting her crafting out and we have something new in our home that's useful. So those are just some ideas.
Yeah, I love those ideas. And especially when you have like multiple kids and you're homeschooling multiple kids, just that idea of being able to use a curriculum that is, you're able to bring the family together for at least some subjects. I can see that cutting down a huge amount on just like the money you're spending, mm-hmm. the stuff. Plus like you're bringing everyone together and you're learning things together, which I think is really wonderful. Okay, so one thing you mentioned was the books and like having, it's something that is important to you. So you need to know like, okay, where are we going to put the books then? How are we going to display the books? And I know your family moved recently, correct?
Mm-hmm. We did.
So we moved about a year ago. And I know one thing that can come with moving is like setting up our homes intentionally. And that's something mm-hmm. that I thought we could talk about because I know I'm in this place where we moved about a year ago and there are some rooms where I'm like, I'm not sure if this is working, you know, we need to kind of like maybe reset some things. So can you share a little bit about like what you keep in mind when you are kind of arranging your home purposefully because you all are in your home so much and you use it for so many different purposes?
Yeah. So I actually had the unique opportunity to build a house and we designed it. And I had a lot of this in mind while designing it. For one, we wanted to put our square footage in the spaces that we live in and not just sleep in, and that we could host parties and people, because that's one of our favorite things. So our children's bedrooms are pretty small. And I did that intentionally because the more space that you have, the more apt you are to just fill it with stuff. And so our children's bedrooms, we have 2 boys, 2 girls. They have bunk beds, and then they have built-in closets to eliminate opportunity for things to get cluttered on top or under dressers. I know that's not necessarily possible for everybody, but I was just trying to think of solutions. And then even under the bed, we have small mattresses that we can pull out if we have people spend the night and stuff. And having something stuck under the bed that they can't shove stuff under the bed is a game changer. Other than that, there's really nothing in their room. They have a few stuffed animals on their bed, but that's not where toys are, because I find that having toys in bedrooms is just like an opportunity for a mess and more spaces that they have to focus on cleaning, and stuff can get shoved everywhere. And so that was one thing that we did. Another thing is we created a space for the library. Since books are really, really important to us, the library is not done yet. My husband's building the house himself. And so that's a project that's still waiting to be done. But at the top of the stairs, there's a landing, and we could have just left it, you know, open, but we decided to do built-in bookshelves around the entire landing so that we would have this extra space for books. So there's not just having to buy bookshelves and having bookshelves all over the house. There's going to be one main space for books, and I'm hoping, it's my hope, that I'll be able to organize them in a way that makes a lot of sense. And then other things are just like having outdoor areas where people can spend time together, but keeping things orderly. So we basically moved from 1,800 square feet to about double, and we did not, I'm like refused to just fill the space. So I actually have drawers in my kitchen right now that have nothing in them. We have spaces in our home that are still, which is like, I know, a dream, because everybody's like, if I could just start over. And that's basically what I did. You know, it was like, we were living in a small space for a really long time. And when we built the house, it's been really, really fun to be able to move in and be more intentional with our things and say, okay, if ever I'm going to really decide if I'm going to keep something or not, this is a good time to decide, and then how we're going to organize it. So I'm kind of like right there in that mix right now, trying to figure that all out. But I think it really just goes back to taking baby steps. And if you have something and you don't know where it belongs, then it either needs to go, or you need to figure out where does this belong and make a solution for it.
Yeah. And it sounds a lot like, you know, as you're designing this home, you're thinking about, you know, what matters to our family. And I think that that is a big deal. It's easy to move into a home and just like, you know, moving. So it's not easy to move. Moving is terrible. It's not fun. Right. So like but it feels, for me, every time I move, it's easy to just be like, I just want to get all this stuff packed up and just take it. And like, once I get there, I'll decide. But to be more purposeful and think like, okay, well, what is the purpose of this item? What is the purpose of this room going to be? Just thinking about like what actually matters and setting up your home in that way. And I love that. I think like just thinking a little bit deeper, even though it doesn't seem like something that would be like something to think deeply about, but thinking a little bit deeper about like how we arrange our homes can be such a big game changer. And You mentioned you kind of have this opportunity to start over. And I think anytime we move, we get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I think we can have that if we want to, like anytime, right?
Yeah,
we can,
I like, agree.
You know, you can just like pack up your stuff, do a big overhaul, pretend like you're moving party, you know.
And you might not be able to have the exact solutions that you want. I mean, even designing the house, we've moved in and I'm like, oh, I didn't think about like where we're going to put the board games. And so now I'm like scrambling to figure out like, I want to keep them in the main area, but I don't have a closet right here. So no matter what, you're always going to have these hurdles that you're going to have to come up with solutions for. And I think it's just tapping into that and not just letting your life continually feel like chaos, but being intentional with saying, that's just the example that's happening right now in my life, where I'm like, I have three bins of board games. I don't want them to go upstairs where all the kids are, because they're going to like lose everything. And this is where we play games. So now I'm on the hunt for like a hutch or something that I can, you know, put in the main area of the house. So it's always just being intentional, making a list, making a plan, even if you have to go baby step, like room by room, like this season, I'm going to focus on this one room, because any step is a step, and you're going to feel better if you just make some step.
Yeah, that's such good advice. I would love to hear, you've mentioned about hosting a few times. So how do you, it sounds like you guys host a lot, whether parties or it sounds like having people stay with you. How do you do that and keep things minimal, I guess? Like what are some of your biggest tips around that? Because I think that's a roadblock for people when they're thinking about decluttering and minimalism. They're like, well, you know, what if we want to have a lot of people? Like, what do we do then?
Yeah, I mean, I don't go without if I feel like I'm going to need a gravy boat a couple times a year, like I'm fine to have it. I just want it to have its place. And so, you know, I have certain places for different things. And then as far as like the biggest thing for me with hosting is really not having adults over and like having adults sleep in our guest room or whatever. It's really the children, because you have a lot of, I have all, my friends are all mostly homeschooling families, and often homeschooling families have a lot of children. And often homeschooling children are like really wild and amazing and creative and fun, and they play. And so I have had times where I have wanted to host more, but I felt held back by the mess that having a lot of children in my home created. And so that's something that we've really worked towards, is having some boundaries when kids come over. So having play spaces that you say like, this is where the kids can play. They can play outside and they can play in this one space. And then you just put a few toys in that one space, like something that a lot of ages would like. Another thing that we did when we designed our home was our main area where the toys are is like our bonus room upstairs. And there's a guest room off of the bonus room. And we put really big closets in there for our toy rotation. And so, my children know the rules. They aren't like big dumping. They're not dumping toys and stuff, but they did it at one point, and I know other kids do that. And so depending on which children are coming or how many children are coming, I can tuck toys away that I don't feel are appropriate for those ages and just say, we're just going to do Legos and Magna tiles for this event. So just being able to limit what you offer. And then it's kind of an understanding in my community too, like the different friends that have come over or family members that come over. I'm not afraid to, you know, as I see that families are wrapping up, being like, okay, kids, we're all going to go upstairs and we're all going to tidy together. Let's put on some music and tidy together and really call other children in, not just my own, because sometimes that's what would happen, is that I would just be hanging out with the adults. The party would end, and all the kids would go home. And then the next day we're all paying for it. You know, we're all having to clean everything. My kids are now resenting hosting all the time. And that's not the attitude I want them to have either. And so it's kind of an understanding, if you live in community with friends too, that the other moms pitch in and the other dads help clean up outside and, you know, whatever. So I think having people like that, but sometimes you're going to have guests that don't do that. And that's part of the cost of hospitality. And it's part of the beauty of choosing to do that. But those are just some things that have helped me, is to have expectations for the other children and having spaces that make a lot of sense. We also do a lot of hosting outside because it's less mess. And so having spaces that you can host outside to make things a little more simple.
Yeah, I think that is part of what holds a lot of people back from hosting, is it can feel like, you know, just setting up for having people over can feel like a lot of energy, and then the mess afterwards if you do have a lot of kids. I know, like, a couple times a year when we've hosted birthday parties, that's like the one time where we have lots of kids over, and yeah, it can end up really trashing things. So I love that advice of just being very selective of what is offered for kids to do, so that, you know, there might be a mess, but it's not going to be like literally everything that you own on the floor.
Right. And if you have older children too, like, it's been an opportunity to train our children. Like we have this home that we were blessed with, and we have more than enough. So we're going to invite people in. And part of that is preparing for them. So getting kids involved with the heart of hospitality of, you know, like, you are going to tidy up, even though we don't usually tidy up this much on Saturday because we're having people over, and that's a way that we can bless them. And then afterwards, like, this is our ministry. This is an opportunity to love people. And so, I mean, it is an act of love to host people, and it's beautiful and wonderful, but it does take a village. And so if you're as a mom trying to do it all yourself without your husband's help, without your kids' help, like, you will burn out. But that is just, I think it's an important lesson to learn, for children, because we want to be people who, I want to be a person that shows my children what it looks like to invite people in.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, at the beginning of this episode, whenever you were talking about just kind of all that you all do, you run businesses together, you homeschool four kids, you're all home together all the time. Can you talk? I know there are a lot of people that work from home with kids now, and there are more and more people just starting out on homeschooling journeys. Whatever it might be that has someone home with one or more kids mm-hmm. and they're trying to work and also, like, you know, also wanting to be engaged with their kids at the same time. What does that look like? What are some tips that you have for someone who is working from home with kids, whether homeschooling also or not?
So my journey has been a long, I mean, I started this company in 2017 when I didn't have really a lot of help. My husband worked full-time out of the house. We didn't have the finances to bring in extra childcare. And so I'm nursing a baby while I'm writing a blog and, you know, the whole thing, which is a lot of how, especially if you're starting out, not just being hired by a company, but if you're trying to spearhead something like a blog or a podcast or, most of what moms that are stay-at-home moms and homeschooling moms are trying to do these days, I would say the majority, is kind of start up something on their own. And I love that we have that opportunity as women at home. But it can be really tricky because if you haven't built it yet, you don't have the finances to give you help. And so I want to speak to that because the place I'm in now is different than the place that maybe a lot of you are in. And in that time, I really had to move. I had to grow slowly. And so I had to be okay with not being 100% in my business. And I had to be okay with it taking a few years to get off the ground. And I had to decide if in the evenings I wanted to watch TV or if I wanted to blog. You know, it's like I had to decide what my family needed and what I really wanted because it was also a creative outlet for me. And I was privileged to be able to do something I loved. And so it didn't feel like work when I'm writing blogs and when I'm speaking to you, like this doesn't feel like work. So if you have something like that, you're really, really blessed. And just putting the time in and then really for me also bringing my kids into it. So I had the opportunity to grow something that is related to my children. And so a lot of what you see in my content and my photos and in our everything, my children are involved and they know what Treehouse Schoolhouse does. They know what our mission is. They believe in it. They think it's exciting. We even pay them, you know, when they're a part of our photo shoots and different things. And we're always giving them autonomy to say, like, I don't want to do this right now. Okay, well, you don't have to do that. And so I think that, and then really just communicating with your husband. Every situation's unique. In our situation, we were both entrepreneurs. And we just kept evaluating and we kept having an open mind to say, would it make sense for you to work less and me to work more? Would it make sense for you to work at this time and me to work at this time? And so our lives have shifted and changed over the last 5 years so many times to a place now where there's a lot more freedom. And so he can take on more of that homeschooling load or other things around the house or running errands with the kids, dentist appointments, and all these different things that you do as a mom. If your husband's not at home, you know, and you're carrying all of this weight. And so I would say I was kind of drowning the first few years, but we've kind of gotten into a rhythm now where my husband takes the morning shift, just to get into the nitty gritty. Cause people always want to know, like, no, like for real, tell me what you do. My husband, takes the morning shift with the kids. And so he makes breakfast and he does family devotions over breakfast until 8 o'clock. And so when I wake up, I can either have a work morning, I can have time alone, I can go on a walk or go work out. That was years until we got to that point because he had to get up and leave for work. And so my most creative work is done in the morning. So if I'm in the middle of writing something, I might get up early and write. And then from 8 o'clock till like 1 o'clock, I'm on. And my husband works at home or he does a workout, he works at home, he might pop in and out of lessons, but he's doing his work and then I'm homeschooling. And so I'm full-time with the kids and I try really hard to keep boundaries where I might snap some photos of them or do some video, but I'm not like communicating all the time on Instagram or like I'm not working while I'm with them because that can get really messy. And I want to be fully present with them when I'm with them. And then when I can switch gears, I can fully work. And not feel like I'm only doing 50-50, you know? And then in the afternoons, we do have part-time childcare, and it's taken years to get here. It started with one day a week, and then it was two afternoons a week. So we're at a point now where either my husband has them in the afternoon or our part-time nanny has them in the afternoon. And that's when I dedicate time to work. And so a few days a week in the afternoons, like right now, is when I'm doing that. So that's what's worked for us. And yeah, I think every family is different. You have to evaluate your finances. You have to evaluate your time. But just being open, because there's a lot of opportunity out there, and it's very possible to work and homeschool. A lot of my peers do that, and it brings a lot of life to them to have an outlet and to have something else that they're doing. So if that's you, it's possible.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the whole world of like being able to do these creative things from home as moms. I have a 2-year-old that is home with me, while I'm, you know, able to work during her nap time. And that's really what it looks like for me now. And I also like work together with my husband when he comes home from work, if I need to get things done. But I think the biggest thing that a lot of moms experience is they like will feel guilty that they're taking this time. So I'm really grateful, like, just to hear your experience and just to hear that, you know, as you've been able to have more help than you've had it, and you're still able to have like engaged, focused time with your kids, and probably even more so having the help that you have. And just that it is a positive thing to be able to have an outlet that is outside of your time at home with your kids, because I think that's so important. You're spending so much time with them. You also need the thing that makes you you, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we worked really, really hard to find the perfect fit. And so that is really important to me. And so even the time that her name is Heidi, even the time that Heidi is with the kids, she is an extension of what we do in our family. She has come into our family culture. She's very like-minded. And so she's reading novels to them. They're learning how to crochet with her. They're going in the woods with her. It's not like a placeholder for me. I feel like she's extending what we already do and what we already believe in. And I'm home with them, so I can, you know, get off this podcast and go out in the woods for a few minutes and then come back in and write something, or bring them into the room with me and say, hey, what's your idea for this? And so it's a whole life business. It's a whole life, living life together. And I would feel guilty at the beginning too, but as I've grown in it, I've really come to realize that I'm showing something to my children. I'm showing them that I have a voice in the world to help moms. I have a creative gift that I can create resources to empower women and empower families, and that they can be a part of that. And maybe God would have an opportunity like that for you one day, and getting them involved with the ideas. And so it's really a gift that they're able to see, like, mom and dad work really hard to create this beautiful life for us. And, you know, this is really cool that we're doing this whole thing together. So bringing them into it, and yeah, letting go of that guilt. If you're not showing up for your kids when you are with them, then like, maybe there is a red flag and you need to check on your heart. But if when you're with them, you're with them, like, you're good. Like, it's okay, you know? And it's been a process for me too. Something my husband's always reminding me that it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Thank you for giving us like a glimpse into what your day looks like, because I think that is super helpful. That is what we all want to know, right? We want to be like, how do you actually do it? Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. And just everything that you have shared in our conversation today, it's just been so fun to talk to you. And I have two questions that I like to ask every guest before we go. So the first one, and they're kind of just like just for fun. The first one is, what is something that you are simplifying right now?
Something I'm simplifying is meals. So Monday through Thursday, we are on a normal meal rotation. So those are the afternoons that I work. And as much as I love being in the kitchen and being creative, Monday through Thursday, that was stressing me out to try to like read a recipe right at that time where I'm getting off working and my kids are hungry and all the things. So doing the basic, like Monday, we always have, you know, spaghetti and some sort of soup, because I'm trying to get back on track from like always eating crazy on the weekend. And I want to eat like something my kids don't want to eat usually. So I'll make like some lentil soup or something on Monday, and then the kids have spaghetti. That's like been our Monday thing. Tuesday is always Taco Tuesday. You know, Wednesday, we always do some sort of chicken sheet pan. So that's been really helpful. And then my husband cooks on Fridays. Because that's the day that we're out in nature with our wild and free group the entire day. And I'm just exhausted by the end of the day. So it's been on the rotation that every Friday night, my husband will grill or whatever he wants to do. He's in charge of dinner. And then Saturday and Sunday, I can get more creative in the kitchen and make things that are new or whatever. So simplifying that has really helped. The other thing I do with simplifying meals, if you're a homeschool mom, this is like a huge tip that I think is pretty simple, but moms are like, oh, why didn't I think of that? I actually pack my kids' lunch in the morning, even though we don't leave the house. So we have these little stainless steel bento boxes. I pack the lunches in the morning. It's kind of the same stuff over and over. They don't care. Charcuterie sort of style or sandwiches. And when it's lunch hour at my house, it's the craziest hour. I'm trying to finish up all the lessons. Things are a mess everywhere. I've got my three-year-old on the floor, all the things, and I need to switch over and come on a podcast, you know, like right after lunch. So they go in the kitchen, they grab their colored lunchbox and they open it and they sit down and they eat while they're finishing up their work. And that's been a game changer for me. So yeah, that's what we've been simplifying here.
Yeah, I think simplifying meals is always like a nice thing to aim for, because for one reason or another, dinner time can be stressful with kids.
So. Absolutely.
Second question is, what's something that you're loving right now?
Something I'm really loving. Well, it's 70 degrees here and we're in North Carolina. Where are you at?
Pittsburgh.
Okay. So is it
not as warm, but it's still,
it's getting there. Yeah. So it's like 70 degrees and we're at our new house and we haven't been here in the spring yet. And so, over the weekend, my kids and some friends built this big, amazing tree fort, like a stick fort. They just like put all these sticks together and put moss all over it. It's just like so beautiful. And then we have a mud kitchen that we haven't set up until this past weekend. So my husband dragged the mud kitchen out there and we just went thrifting and got a bunch of pots and pans and plates. And so the kids have just been nonstop playing in the mud kitchen, back and forth between the mud kitchen and the fort. And I can see it from my back porch while I'm sipping my coffee. And it's like feeling the sun on my face, just taking a deep breath. And it's just been like, wow, this is what life is about. Like, that's just how I feel today. Like this morning, we've had all of our doors open, hearing the birds, doing school outside. I'm like, this is the life. So
yeah, that like warm weather coming in for the first few times just changes life.
It really does. So, so sad when it's like cloudy and rainy, because I grew up in Florida. So
oh yeah,
winters can be tough for me.
Yeah. Well, I hope you continue to enjoy your warm weather in your new house. And thank you so much again for coming on the show today.
Absolutely. I wanted to make sure to let your followers know that if you go to treehouseschoolhouse.com, you can check out all of our resources. And we have a code for you guys for 15% off anything in the shop. It's minimalish15.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And I will put all of that, like all the links where people can find you and that code will be in the show notes as well. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I loved talking to Lindsay. I loved how she really just gave us a look behind the scenes at her life and her home. And it inspired me to really think about how I want to use my home more purposefully. It especially inspired me to think about just how I need to rearrange my home for the purposes that I want to use it for, especially certain rooms that I'd kind of like to swap with other rooms. So that's been something on my mind, and this episode helped me think through that a little bit. I loved her tips for hosting. I took away so much from this episode, and I hope you did too. And if you did love it, would you please share it with your friends? I would be so grateful if you just text it to a friend, or if you share it on Instagram or wherever you like to share things. That always helps get more eyes and ears on the show. And I'm grateful for you for inviting others into our minimalist community here. Reminder that Lindsay has that code for us. If you do want to check out her resources, it is minimalish15. And you can go to treehouseschoolhouse.com to find all of her stuff. That is in the show notes. That's all in the show notes, so you don't forget about it. Last thing I want to mention is, if you want to dive deeper with the Minimalish community, you can do that in the Minimalish Collective. We've been in the middle of a book club right now, but you can definitely still join into that book club because it's laid back and you can easily catch up. It's an easy to read book. You don't even have to catch up. You can still come to our meeting at the end of the month. So if you want to join in on all of that, we are at patreon.com/minimalish, and that will be in the show notes as well.
Thank you so much for being here. I am grateful for you, and I will talk to you right back here again on the next episode.